Now we will look at passages that talk about God having more sons than just Jesus, having other sons. And the first passage that mentioned sons of God is a very famous passage and unfortunately very misunderstood. But it's from Genesis chapter 6. And I'll read the first three verses. But we can look at the context and we can see just from this who these sons of God are. And which I'll go ahead, we've looked at this in the past, but the overwhelming view of this is that sons of God are angels. But we will look at, we can even tell from the text here that sons of God are humans. And then we'll of course look in the New Testament and see that sons of God are humans and not angels. But it's even clear from this context here from Genesis 6:1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with the man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days will be 120 years. So, here right off in verse 1, these are men that are multiplying on the earth. And there are sons of God, and there are daughters of men that are born to them. And then these humans, not these angels, are what are all unfortunately became unrighteous. So it is even clear from this, and which we'll solidify more in the New Testament passages, the sons of God are the righteous, and these daughters of men are the unrighteous. And that's why we have this chart. And we looked at here several weeks ago, daughters of men, sons of men, children of men. Every occurrence, and we looked at all of those passages, they were all pointing to the wicked and the unrighteous. And that is the contrast, daughters of men, children of men are a contrast and a opposite of sons of God, children of God. Okay, so now we will go to, we've at least established the fact that God had more sons even early on after creation than just Jesus, just the Messiah. So the next passage we'll look at is Matthew 5:9. And this is the famous Beatitudes. And so Jesus is giving this Sermon on the Mount. And he says, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So even Jesus, Jesus of course knew that God had more sons, more children than just himself. Okay, next we'll go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll start with verse 12. Romans 8:12. Paul is talking to the Christians in Rome, which we can prove that first just to see who Paul is talking to. Romans 1 verse 7, and he writes, To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So he's talking to the saints or the Christians. Those are synonyms used interchangeably in Rome. So these are talking to the righteous, to the Christians, is who this book is talking to. And so when he says, Therefore, brethren, he's talking to the Christians, to the saints, to the righteous that live in Rome. So he says, therefore, brethren, he's talking to humans. He's not talking to angels. That's what I'm pointing out. And that these sons of God are the righteous. That's what I'm wanting to point out here. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Now, see, he's doing a contrast to the non-brethren. The non-brethren are the children of men, the daughters of men, the sons of men, all of those passages that we looked at that were the wicked, the unrighteous. That's the contrast. He's saying that is not you. You are the righteous. You are the sons of God. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. He's telling more about the unrighteous. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of bondage by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He's talking to the righteous in Rome, including himself here. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And then at the beginning of this passage, he was contrasting to the unrighteous, and those would be what were referred to in Genesis 6 as the daughters of men. Okay, and now we'll look at one more passage from Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 26 is where we'll start. And again, Paul is talking to the Christians of Galatia. Galatians 1, verse 2, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches or the congregations of Galatia. So again, he's talking to the Christians, to the righteous. And what does he say about them? He said, verse 26 of Galatians 3, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So, these sons of God, he's not talking about angels. So, sons of God are not angels. He's talking about righteous humans. And he even tells them how they can become a righteous human and become a son of God through faith and baptism in Christ Jesus. So that is how someone becomes a son of God or becomes a Christian. These are also synonyms. In verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So these are humans that can become sons of God, and from this passage, through faith and baptism. It is the same way we become sons of God, children of God, at the same way as we become Christians. These are synonyms, and this is for the how people become known as righteous and become righteous. So this is the opposite of the daughters of men or children of men, who are the wicked and the unrighteous. So sons of God are not angels, and then they are righteous humans. And this is to show that God had more sons and has more sons, more children than just Jesus. And so Jesus is not God's one and only son. And then we will revisit, McCord wrote a several page commentary on this John 3:16 passage, but monogenes, and it is in the future. I think whenever we end up covering John 3 is what I plan, that we will end up covering. I'll read his commentary on that, and he even expounds on that Jesus was not even begotten. Jesus always has been. He was the creative agency. He was with God when everything was created. So Jesus is not even begotten. So that the whole thing here of translating monogenes as only begotten is completely wrong. He is the unique Son of God and not the only one. And then he never was begotten. He was manifested physically. His spirit and soul was manifested in Mary by the Holy Spirit. So, but anyway, we'll revisit this sometime in the future.